Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
Hello, I'm Alan Stanford, and welcome to Macbeth in Monaghan. More bad news is coming concerning the health of his wife.
How does your patient, doctor?
Not so sick, my lord, as she is troubled with tick coming fancies that keep her from her rest.
Cure her of that. Canst thou not minister to a mind diseased? Pluck from the memory of a rooted sorrow, raise out the written troubles of the brain, and with some sweet oblivious antidote, cleanse the stuffed bosom of the perilous stuff, which weighs upon the heart.
Therein the patient must minister to himself.
Throw physic to the dogs, I'll none of it. Come, put mine armour on, give me my staff. Seaton, send out. Doctor, the thanes fly from me.
Doctor, the thanes fly from me. It's the only little indication we get, but what he's saying is, even the people who are supporting him in the castle are beginning to run away. He's beginning to be left alone.
Come, sir, dispatch. If thou couldest, doctor, cast the water of my land, find her disease, and purge it to a sound and pristine health. I would applaud thee to the very echo that should applaud again.
What he's doing here, in a strange way, is comparing Scotland and his wife. He's saying, you can't cure my wife. He's saying, I can't cure Scotland. I wish you could. I wish you could make it all better. It's that cry from the heart that says, I've made a terrible mess of everything. I wish somebody could put it right, but nobody can.
Pull it off, I say. What rhubarb, thyme, or what purgative drug would scare these English hence? Bring it after me. I will not be afraid of death and bane till Birmingham Forest comes to Dunstan.
Still that belief that he is perfectly safe till Birmingham Forest come to Dunsinane. And thank you to Michael Hanratty as the Doctor and David O'Hagan from Macbeth, both from Patrician. Thank you. Theatrically, Shakespeare keeps jumping from the castle out to the battlefield, or rather, to the woods, to keep that relentless pressure, the pressure of Malcolm's approach. No matter what's happening to Macbeth inside the castle, no matter what he's thinking, outside, Malcolm is approaching. That big army is getting closer and closer and closer. And out in the forest, Malcolm has a very clever idea.
What wood is this before us?
The wood of Birnam.
Let every soldier hew him down a bough and bear it before him. Thereby shall we shadow the numbers of our host and make discovery, air and report of us.
We learn no other but the confident tyrant keeps still in Dunsinane and will endure our setting down before it.
This is main hope.
The time approaches that will with due decision make us know what we shall say we have and what we owe.
Malcolm has decided to move Birnam Wood to Dunsinane. Thank you there to Daryl, to Dara, to Sean and to Patrick, all from Patrician for reading that. Thank you. Back up in the castle, Macbeth is demonstrating yet again his courage.
Hang out our banners on the outward walls. The cry is still, they come. Our castle's strength will laugh a siege to scorn. Here, let them lie, till famine and the ague eat them up. Were they not forced with those that should be ours? We might have met them dareful, beard to beard, and beat them backward home.
The reason he's sitting in that castle is not because he's afraid, but because he simply hasn't enough soldiers left to go out and fight a battle. He wants to do it. He wants to fight them. He wants to beat Malcolm out of the country. But he can't, because everyone is deserting him. And then, finally, the worst news for him.
The Queen, my lord, is dead.
She should have died hereafter. There would have been a time for such a word. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day, to the last syllable of recorded time, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools, the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale, told by an idiot, full of sand and fury, signifying nothing.
It's almost as though at this point, Macbeth has begun to realize the absolute futility of his situation, the waste of his life. Life itself has been reduced in his mind to a poor player strutting and fretting his time upon the stage, a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury and meaning nothing. The whole of his life has been full of sound and fury. He's been a warrior, a king, a tyrant, and a genocidal megalomaniac. And all of that, at the end of the day, is brought down to nothing. His wife is dead. He is under siege. Everything has become almost meaningless. The only thing he's got left to do now is to fight. And now, at his lowest point, at the point when he is probably more depressed than at any other time in the play, there really does come news to cause fear in his soul and in his imagination. The prophecy returns to haunt him.
Gracious my lord, I should report that which I say I saw, but know not how to do it.
Well, say so.
As I did stand my watch upon the hill, I looked toward Burnham, and anon, methought, the wood began to move.
Liar and slave, if thou speakest false, upon the next tree thou shalt hang alive, till famine cling thee. If thy speech be sooth, I care not if thou dost for me as much. I pull in resolution, and begin to doubt the equivocation of the fiend that lies like truth. Fear not, till Burnham Wood do come to Dunsinane. And now a wood comes toward Dunsinane. Arm, arm, and out. If this which he avouches does appear, there is nor flying hence, nor tarrying here. I begin to be wary of the sun, and wish the estate o'er the world were now undone. Ring the alarming bell. Blow wind, come rack. At least we'll die with harness on our back.
And within this speech, everything seems to come together, finally. Burnham Wood is coming to Dunsinane. The prophecy is being fulfilled. It told him not to fear until Burnham Wood comes to Dunsinane. He made the assumption that it never would, but the prophecy told the truth. Now he fears the equivocation of the fiend. The fiend tells lies by telling the truth, deceives you with the truth. And Burnham Forest comes to Dunsinane. But he doesn't turn into a coward at this moment. He doesn't run away. His reaction is quite immediate and is the reaction of the hero that he once was. Arm, arm, and out. He had decided to fight the battle by staying within the castle and letting them besiege him. Now he knows, even though Burnham Wood is coming to Dunsinane, he will have to go out into the field and fight them in a conventional battle. He has to go out alone, if necessary, to fight them. I begin to be aweary of the sun. If we remember in the earlier stages of the play, he was constantly calling on the darkness, calling darkness down. Stars, hide your fires. Come, sealing night. All the time he wanted darkness, but he's been exposed to the sun. And Shakespeare here is using a double image as well, because it's not just the sun, S-U-N, but the sun, S-O-N, the son of Duncan. That's the blazing light that's coming to burn him. He's getting tired of it. He wants an end to it. But he wants to die the way he should, as a warrior, as a hero, with harness on his back. Thank you there to Michal and to David and to Ronan from Patrician for reading that scene. Malcolm has arrived. No more pretense, no more hiding behind trees. Now they're ready for the battle.
Now, near enough, your leafy screens throw down and show like those you are.
Do we but find the tyrant's power tonight? Let us be beaten if we cannot fight.
Make all our trumpets speak, give them all breath, those clamorous harbingers of blood and death.
The battle has begun. Macbeth is fighting his way through impossible odds, but he does it with that certainty that no matter what else may happen, they may take his crown, they may take his country, but they cannot take his life. He has a charmed life.
They have tied me to a stake. I cannot fly, but bear-like I must fight the course. What's he that was not born of woman? Such a one I am to fear, or none.
What is thy name?
Thou'st be afraid to hear it.
No, though thou callest thyself a hotter name than any is in hell.
My name is Macbeth.
And immediately he turns and kills young Siward, without a second thought.
Thou wast born of woman, but swords I smile at, let weapons laugh to scorn, brandished by a man that's of woman born. Why should I play the Roman fool and die on my own sword? While I see lives, the gashes do better upon them.
And that's the warrior speaking. I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to end it all. I'll kill anyone who comes near me. He's fighting with tremendous courage, but again, with that certainty that he is invulnerable. But now, he must face his nemesis. Now, he must face his final fear. Now, he's got to meet the doom that the weird sisters and the apparitions foretold. Remember, they always told the truth. It must come to pass. And he finally meets Macduff. That same Macduff, prowling round the battlefield, is trying to find Macbeth.
That way the noise is, tyrant. Show thy face. If thou be slain with no stroke of mine, my wife and children's ghosts will haunt me still. I cannot strike at wretched kerns, whose arms are hired to bear their staves. Either thou, Macbeth, or else my sword with unbattered edge thy sheath undeeded. Let me find him, Fortune, and more I beg not.
What he's saying is he doesn't want to fight anybody else. He'll go through the entire battle. He won't fight another soul. There's only one person he wants, and that's Macbeth. Then he finds him.
Turn, hellhound, turn.
Of all men else I have avoided thee, but get thee back. My soul is too much charged with blood of thine already.
I have no words. My voice is in my sword, thou bloodier villain, than terms can give thee out.
Already Macbeth is saying, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to kill you. I've done enough. The guilt, the pressure of what he's done is building up on him. He just doesn't want any more. But they fight.
Thou losest labor, as easy make the entrenchant air with thy keen sword and press as make me bleed. Let fall the blade on vulnerable crests. I bear a charmed life, which must not yield to one of woman born.
And it's strange, at that moment he is saying to Macduff, you can't kill me, and I don't want to kill you. But he's got to find something out.
Despair thy charm, and let the angel whom thou still hast served tell thee Macduff was from his mother's womb untimely ripped.
And there you have it. There's the simple way that Macbeth was deceived. Macduff was not born from his mother. He was taken out of her womb by a caesarean operation. Ripped from his mother's womb, not born. The fiend told the truth, but Macbeth didn't understand it. And now he knows he's going to die.
Accursed be the tongue that tells me so, for it had cowed my better part of man. And be these juggling fiends no more believed, that palter with us in a double sense, that keep the word of promise in it to our ear, and break it to our hope. I'll not fight with thee.
Then yield thee, coward, and live to be the show of the gaze of the time. We'll have thee, as our rarer monsters are, painted on a pole and under writ. Hear me, you see the tyrant.
I will not yield, to kiss the ground before young Malcolm's feet, and to be baited with the rabble's curse. Though Birnin Wood be come to Dunsinane, and thou opposed, being of no woman born, yet I will try the last. Before my body I throw my warlike shield. Lay on, Macduff, and damn be him that first cries, hold, enough.
And that's the final act of courage. He knows he's going to die. He knows that Macduff is the man who will kill him. But right at the end, still, he says, I'm going to die fighting. It's that last act of courage from the warrior and hero that we began the play with, finally breaking through and saying, I'm going to die like a man. I'm not a monster. I am a man, and I'll die like one. Lay on, Macduff. And curse be him that first cries, hold enough, is the cry of a hero. And thank you to Sean, to David, to Daryl, to Paul, and to Patrick from Patrician for reading that sequence. Macbeth, finally, is dead. The genocide is over, the tyranny is over. His vaunting ambition blinded him to the truth and brought him to his end. And Malcolm is declared king.
Hail, King, for so thou art. Behold where stands the usurper's cursed head. The time is free. I see thee compassed with thy kingdom's pearl, that speak my salutation in their minds, whose voices I desire aloud with mine. Hail, King of Scotland!
Hail, King of Scotland!
Malcolm, who represents the future and the cleansing of the past. Always, a new order will come to sweep away the old. Civilization returns, and the natural order is again in place. Of course, assuming that another despot doesn't come along. And thank you to Sean, Raymond, Daryl, Patrick, Jonathan, David, Michal, and Michael, all from Patrician. Thank you.
Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m. rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.